I started a little while ago, probably 2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago. No, Ash was last week, so 2 weeks ago. I was just talking about this theme that I wanted to bring out while I spoke in December, and it was a little theme about the future and that sort of idea. And I was thinking, you know, like we're coming to the close of 2019, and it's hard to believe, you know, like, I don't know about you, it's sort of, it seems like we were only making resolutions just a few short weeks and months ago that we all know that we weren't going to keep, but we were going to make anyway. And as we move into this month, it's just this theme of about moving into the future. And God has a great future for all of us. I really believe that. And I'm sure this morning as we consider what the future looks like, you could be one of three people, and I'm sure the future has a variety of emotions attached to it, and the future days ahead have an array of thoughts that come in your minds when we think about that, and some of us, maybe it's full of faith, full of expectancy and anticipation of what the future days will hold. Well, there'll be others this morning that when they consider the future, there's this uncertainty around what the future may actually look like. And then there's also ones this morning that when you consider the future days, months, years, whatever it may be ahead, your heart can be actually gripped with fear as to what the future may actually hold. And so over the next sort of, I'm not preaching next week. Trev's next week. He's coming back during the week. And I reckon Sandra's probably pretty happy to have him back and the help around the house. But he gets back Thursday, Friday-ish of this week. And then he's straight on next Sunday. So he's preaching next Sunday. But over this Sunday and the Sunday after Trev, I'm just going to try and dive into a few different passages and unpack this idea a little bit about what the future may actually hold and how we can move into our future with excitement and anticipation for what may lie ahead. And so I'm going to dive this morning. I'm just going to dive into a passage of scripture that's in 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want to pull some thoughts out of that passage that will possibly help us. And whatever our thoughts are, whatever we think about the future, whatever we're thinking about that, I hope that we'll walk away with this optimism. We'll walk away with this place where faith has been built and enhanced in each of our hearts. And we'll have this agreement and this purpose moving forward into all God has for us. You see, the future is not there to scare us. The future is to be embraced and to be created and to be made. And I pray over the next couple of Sundays that I preach, I'll be able to articulate some thoughts and some ideas that will help us move into the future. So as I was considering this message and I've sort of got next message already teed up as well, but as I was considering these two messages, I went to a passage of scripture which really has been the inspiration and thoughts for this message. And the verse comes from Ezekiel 36. Now, sorry to those I've led them down a road. I'll see Ash, he's gone to 2 Kings, and now here I'm saying go to Ezekiel. But Ezekiel 36:11, it says this: I will settle you as in former times, and will do better for you than at your beginnings. I will do better for you than at your beginnings. You see, God is declaring over all of our lives is that He can do better things than at your beginnings. That the Word of God or the plan of God is that we would have better days ahead than what our beginnings look like. You see, would you dare to believe that God has better things in store for you than what you have come through or come from? Better things ahead. You see, now I look to the Word of God and God's caused things to happen to so many people. As we read in the Bible, we can see that, you see, this morning here, in the Bible, God took a shepherd boy and He made him king. He would take Moses, who had a speech impediment, and caused him to become the greatest deliverer of the nation of Israel. He would take a young man that was sold into slavery and enable him through a process over time to become second in charge in all of Egypt. He would take a teenage girl and she would carry the very presence of God and give birth to the Son of God into the world. You see, would you dare to believe that God can make our future better than our beginnings? Better than our beginnings. You see, and as I was even considering my beginnings and even my own life and where I've come from, is that, you see, like, we could all say to ourselves, I'm a walking, talking, living testimony of the fact that our days ahead are better than our days behind. You see, and if you would consider what your beginnings look like and where you stand today, you see, sitting in this place of faith with Christ, you know, we've all gone through trials, you see, trials, and then we have those good times, and God's been faithful to each and every one of us. But He's actually going to do better ahead, moving forward, than our beginnings. You see, and as I speak to different people, you see, I hear people say some things like this to me from time to time. They say, Jeremy, why can't we take the church back to the good old days? You see, and I remember the good old days that they're referring to. You know, I remember falling asleep at a weekly house meeting where you were hanging out for the supper that came afterwards, because it was always a good one. Or I remember, you know, youth group or the things that you could do, you know, condo camp in the good old days, where you could throw fire, where you could shave people's eyebrows. Like, we could do all these fun, the good old days. You know, like, and I know that they were good days. But what I also know is this, is that our past was great, but our future is actually better. So if we think about the good old days and we think about how great they were, how about we think about the future as even greater than what it was behind us? Even if you think about it from a church or an individual, however you look at it, our days ahead are better than what we've actually come from. You see, God has better days ahead for each and every one of us. So it's not about going back in time. No, it's standing on the promises of God that God has better in store for each and every one of us. You see, I love the transformation of my own life, but my life is still being transformed today. You see, I used to run into the house of God all those years ago, but I still run in because my God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a God of the past. He can deal with our past, but he's not a God of the past. He can move in our present and into our future. He's declared better days ahead for each and every one of us. You see, if our present days and our future days are not better than our days at the beginning, we may have a problem. Because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of progress. You see, we move from faith to faith. We move from glory to glory. You see, we move into the likeness of Jesus Christ in our lives day by day. You see, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the track, whatever it is, if we're in the same position we are now, we've got an issue. You see, Jeremy 29 verses 10 and 11 says this, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years, say that with me, 70 years. Yeah, we got some responses. We're still awake. After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place." And we all know the next verse. It says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And so here Jeremiah is speaking directly to the exiles who have been moved from Jerusalem into Babylon. And this is before the fall of Jerusalem. And now God is speaking to these ones that are in exile in a place of slavery in Babylon. And He's saying these words, "In 70 years, I'm going to come and visit you." I imagine some of them might be there going, "Are you serious? 70 years?" And see, God is saying, "I'm going to come and visit you. I'm not going to forget about you. My thoughts towards you are immeasurable. I'm going to give you a plan and I'm going to give you a great peace. And my plan is not of evil, but of a future. And in 70 years, you know, and I consider this, the vast majority of those people, who heard the word of the Lord could possibly be no longer living in 70 years, but yet the promise is still active and alive for their future. You see, let me give you this tip. I was thinking about this. You see, when we read the word of God, when we're reading the word of God, there's a great distinction between Scripture's interpretation and the Scripture's application. You see, there can only be one interpretation of Scripture. But we tend to live in a day where there's multifaceted applications or interpretations of Scripture. But there's actually only one interpretation. However, the Scripture can have multifaceted number of applications that we can apply. And so here God is speaking to the Israelites in exile and saying, in 70 years, I'm going to perform my word and I'm going to give you a future and of hope. And most of those hearing the word did not ever receive the promise, although the promise was for them and it was also for future generations. So the interpretations are saying the application is now thousands of years later. And God is saying our lives, the plans that He has for each of you, us, you and I, as plans for peace and plans for to give you and I a future and a hope. And I've noticed in this Christian journey is due to our relationship with Christ. Due to our relationship with Christ does not guarantee smooth sailing. It doesn't. You see, all the days of our lives is that they've got this promise and the vast majority will never ever see the promise. But one thing I'm sure of regarding our future is naturally our future is full of certain uncertainty. You see, but in God, our future is full of certainty. You see, we may not receive that promise whilst we have breath in our lungs. But we will receive that promise as we move into eternity. So many of the promises of God, they are available for the now. They are not guaranteed for you and I. But if we stay in relationship with Christ, as we move into eternity, we'll also have them there. So let me sort of get you to the real text of where we're going to go. I saw Ash at the start when I mentioned the first verse. He went straight there and then I started to meander. But that was probably my intro. We'll get into the main text. And I want to dive into the word 2 Kings chapter 4. And it tells a story of two different ladies. Two different ladies in the Word of God. And they're both in very different contrasting situations. But what I love about this is irrespective of the position they find themselves in life, is that we have a God that would always come and visit us wherever we are located, whatever the situation, is that God would come down onto our level and minister at that place and also declare that He would move and have a future moving forward. See, I want to read these two stories this morning. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elijah went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look, now I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed in there and in there for him, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. And then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite woman." And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said to her, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned with all of us with this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered and said, 'I dwell among my people.' And so she said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi, I answered, 'Actually, she has no son and her husband is old.' And so he said, 'Call her.' And when he called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, about this time next year, about this time next year, you will embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore. And when the appointed time had come, of which Elijah had told her. So the title of my message this morning and over the next couple of times I get the privilege of preaching is, this time next year. This time next year. You see, could you believe that we have a God that will continually move on our behalf? You see, this is a story of this lady who's influential, financially rich. And it's preceded by a story of another lady that is in the complete opposite situation. They are contrasting stories. And let me read from this verse on the same chapter. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophets cried out to Elijah saying, your servant, my husband is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord and the creditor is coming to take away my two sons to be his slaves. So, Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. And then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty the vessels, gather them all together. Just a few there, gather them. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all of these vessels, and set aside the full ones. And so she went from him and shut the door from behind her, and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she'd said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. And so the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons shall live on the rest. You see, two amazing contrasting passages of situations that these ladies find themselves in. One finds herself in an affluent position and welcomes in this man of God. The other finds herself in a place of heartache, a place of loss, a place of emptiness. And this morning, I don't know where each and every one of you or your lives may be positioned, but wherever you are positioned this morning is that we've got a God that will come and meet us and meet our needs directly at wherever we are positioned. You see, we've got a God that will come and have a conversation, have communion with each and every one of us. You see, you may feel isolated. You may feel alone, but you've got a God that has your full backing. His thoughts are towards you to give you a great future, to give you a great hope. And so the whole premise of this message, I think the whole premise of you and I moving forward into the future is built on the thought, is that our present actions determine our future directions. You see, is that what we do in the present will determine what happens in the next. What we do in the now will in turn what happens in the future. You see, I remember Jesus telling the story of the two men that were building a house. And he tells the story of this one guy that before he went external, before he went on building up the house, he decided to dig deep and he went into this invisible realm. He went into the secret place and he built a foundation, a firm foundation of which could support a great structure. And he tells the story of the same guy. Not the same guy, sorry. He tells the story of a guy, same spot, like a next door neighbor. The guy's doing the same sort of house, in the same subdivision, on the same soil type. But this guy, he doesn't decide to dig deep. He doesn't decide to go into the secret place, doesn't decide to go into this invisible realm to build his life, to build his house. He decided, I just want to build an impressive right now and so people can see right now. And Jesus tells us what actually happens. So he didn't dig deep, he just dig. And as the storms of life blew, the identical storm, they weren't different storms. It wasn't like one was of a greater velocity. The same storm brewed. And Jesus tells us of the one that dug deep in his presence, that house that was immovable in the future. The one that did not dig deep in and did not go into the secret place, did not go into this invisible realm. When the same storm blew, is that house suffered great loss. You see, as our present actions determine our future directions. And I thought about this, thinking about that, and I have this process, and my mind's mathematical in thinking. You know, like I'm in staff meetings, and my mind's constantly going this plus this takeaway. I'm just working out equations to get the desired outcome of what we want. So I was actually thinking about this, and but if you look at this. You see, I think the birthing ground in our hearts creates the future for us. You see, I've seen that our desires, they determine our priorities. And our priorities shape our choices. And our choices determine our actions. And our actions shape our future. And so the seedbed of our future is that based on the desires that we have in our heart, whether they're good or whatever the desires we have in our heart will ultimately shape the future that you and I will live in. And so our desires affect our priorities, and our priorities impact our choices, and our choices impact our actions, and it's finally our actions which shape our future. See, would you allow our present actions to be right? The right actions, the right responses, because it's that that actually determines the future, and they set up this place of where God can move into our future. And as I look at both of these stories, I see that one visit from God changes everything. One word from God changes everything. I've seen just one touch from heaven change everything. And here they are, hundreds would testify to this morning. One word, one visit, one touch from God will change absolutely everything. And if you think about it through your own lens of your own life, that moment where God intervened, that moment where God spoke, that moment where God began to move, everything changes. And we have a lady, the second story, you have this lady who is desperate. And maybe this morning you are desperate for a miracle. You're desperate for God to come through in your situation. And here she is, she cries out to the man of God. She's not whispering. She's shouting out to the man of God. She's shouting. She says to Elijah, your servant, my husband, he's dead. My two sons, they're about to be taken away into slavery by the creditor. And she's crying out to God. She was laying everything on the table. She's making God aware of her present condition. This morning, wherever you're placed, would you cry out to God? Would you cry out to the one who is ever-present help in a time of need? We can cry out on a number of platforms, but those platforms are not always going to help us. But cry out to God. And she cries out. And the man of God, or God in this case, says back to her, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? He doesn't even allow a response to come. It just goes on with the second question. What do you have in your house? You see, what do you have in your house? You see, God comes to each and every one of us to illuminate what we already have. Because God will always use what we already have. We have to be aware of that so much, because our future is determined by what we already have. And so the man of God comes to illuminate, to get her to a place where she's able to recognize and see what she actually is carrying in her present help, because it's what she's actually carrying in her present that will propel her into a future. Because the heart of God is that when we can identify, when we illuminate or highlight what we actually have and give it to God, is that God blesses it and makes it beneficial for our future. You see, God's not necessarily looking for additional things to add to you. He's looking to grow the things He's already placed inside each and every one of us. And He says to this lady, what do you have in your house? And she starts thinking. And her automatic response, and so often our response immediately is, I have nothing. I have nothing. I've got nothing in my house. Or we'll disregard what we do have. What we do have is insignificant. And so he continues to ponder and think, and then God illuminates. Just give me something. Just give me something to work with, he's probably thinking. And you may think that you're completely empty, but never void of everything. It's always something that we have that God can use. There is always something that we have that we can give to God, and God would favor and place blessing and increase over that. You see that thing? Nothing. She's saying, I have nothing. I have nothing. Oh, yeah. I have a jar of oil. God now illuminates this jar of oil, and this lady comes to a place where she recognizes that she's not completely empty, although her situation is so dire that God is just looking for something that you and I would have that could work with. I've nothing in my house except a jar of oil. You see, and you know, through my relationship with Jesus, I've found this over and over again, is that I want to see God actually uses the insignificant, ordinary things. I emphasize, he uses the insignificant and ordinary things. He uses you and I. He uses the things that we may consider to be of no great value. You see, I look back even at my life, 15, 20 years, whatever it is. He's used those common, everyday, mundane, ordinary things. And he's built something. You see, let's stand on the thought that God's going to be using those things to build our future, and our beginnings will not be greater than our future. You see, God has used common, ordinary things. But so often we think we can only come into his presence. And I might be the only one who thinks this. You see, so often we think we can only come into his presence, or we can only give God that big thing. We can only give him that big thing because this big influential thing will bring favor, but he's actually not saying that. He's saying, oh, God's just asking whatever it is you've got. Whatever common, ordinary, insignificant, but something we prize, something we value, we can hand to him. You see, God uses the ordinary, common, insignificant things. You see, he would take a slingshot and a few stones, and he'd bring down a giant. He'd take a couple of fish and a few loaves and feed a multitude. He would destroy an army with the jawbone of a donkey. You see, God uses ordinary things. And he can use what you and I have available. You might think you have nothing, but you have something this morning. Would you allow God to use that? You see, God blesses ordinary things. The greatest thing in our life are often the things that we consider to be ordinary. The greatest things are those which we sometimes disregard. You see, the ordinary in us is the greatness of us. Don't despise the ordinary things. Would you recognize the value of what you're currently carrying? It may be insignificant in everyone else's eyes. It may be insignificant in your eyes, but it's never insignificant in the eyes of God. Don't despise what you have. Don't ignore what you have. Don't minimize what you have. Don't compare it to what somebody else has. Don't value someone else's gift above yours. God will bless what you already have. You see, it's our future blessing always flows out of what we already have. Would you make what you already have available to an almighty God? You see, as we look at these stories, the prophet, the man of God, you see, God does not bring the blessing, he reveals the blessing. God doesn't bring the blessing, he's a God of blessing. He places inside our DNA. You see, it says, be fruitful and multiply. It's already inside of us. He doesn't just bring a blessing, he just simply reveals the blessing to this lady. He just illuminates what she has in her property and in her house. And he does not add anything to her life. And he also does not add anything to her house. He just brings you and I to a place of realizing what we already have. And then says, you can use that because my favor and blessing is all over that. And then he says, they go and gather as many containers, as many vessels as you can. And she brings them in. Her sons help her. And she shuts the door. You see, sometimes some of us just need to shut the door to move into our future. You see, getting into a place with God and seeing the miracle power of God to shut the door, to shut out those other voices, those other opinions that are impacting upon you moving forward. And let God do what God needs to do. So shut the door. And so she got in and she got all these vessels. She's got this little jar of oil. Two sons there. All these containers from the community. You see this amazing picture. And then God says, start pouring. Imagine being here at the moment. I kind of think about those stories about feeding the 5,000. Whatever the story is. Imagine having a little jar of oil, these big containers, and you start pouring. And then one vessel's filled. You quickly go to the next. It's overflowing. It's just this overflow. Overflow, the never-ending supply of Tim Tams sort of scenario. Be pretty crazy situation. You see, and my whole message is about this, is would you and I just continue to pour it out? Pour it out. Pour out what God has given each and every one of us. We may think we're lacking. We may think it's insignificant. We may think it's a little, but in the hands of God, big things can be achieved through the little that we give. And so she just keeps pouring, pouring, pouring. You see, so would you and I continue to pour out and pour out? And there's a promise there in John chapter 4. It says, Jesus talking to the woman at the well, if you guys coming to keep drawing to me, is that out of your innermost being would flow rivers of living water, rivers of life. This whole pour it out, in a vessel, filled after vessel, filled after vessel to overflowing. Would you pour it out? Would you just keep pouring? You see, in this woman representing you and I, she determined how much oil she would have. If she'd gathered one vessel, that jar of oil would have filled that one vessel. If she'd gathered 156 vessels, that jar of oil would have filled every single one of them. If she'd gathered 10,335 vessels, is that jar of oil would have kept flowing. You see, it's the determined increase of God was determined by her expectancy. You see, God did not bring the increase. The lady brought the increase because she had the vessels to continue to pour it into this morning. You see, and I was thinking about that. Thinking about it from this perspective of in Narendra or wherever you may live. You know, like there's vessels. There's vessels in our community. You know, there's millions of billions of vessels in the world. Narendra, 5,000 or so vessels. And you and I, we can continue to pour it out. And as we continue to pour it out, is that their future is changed. My future is changed. You see, it's up to you and I to continue to pour it out. Pour out what God has placed in each and every one of us. Because as we pour it out, we actually bring increase and room for more of God to move. And as I close, I'll invite the musicians to come. We'll get them to sing one more song as we close. You see, it's our present actions. It's what we do today that will determine our future direction. What we do today. What is it that you desire? Because it's those desires that will impact on our priorities. And we set priorities all the time. And it's our priorities that impact upon our choices. And our choices will affect our actions, and it's our actions that shape our future. So if we go back to the root cause of everything, it's our desires. What is it that you desire? You see, draw near to God and He'll give you the desires of your heart. What is it that you desire this morning? Go to there. Go to that place and speak with God and say, these desires, because it's the desires that you've got that will shape your future, ultimately, through a number of choices. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for who you are. We praise you this morning. We worship you this morning. And Lord, we thank you that you're in our present. But more importantly, there's a reason why the rearview mirror is smaller than the mirror we look through. Well, not the mirror, the window we look through. Because you're concerned with our future, but it's what we do today that influences and impacts on our future. Lord, would you be in our desires day by day? Because it's our desires that are the seedbed for our future state. Where we are in 5 years doesn't just happen. It happens through momentary choices determined by our desires and our actions and our priorities. Will we bring those to you this morning, Lord, so we can create an alignment between our desires and your desires you have for each of our lives? Would our priorities be in sync with the priorities that you've placed on each of our hearts? Because our future days ahead are better than what our beginnings were. But our future is determined by the choices we make day by day. We worship you this morning. We praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.